On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer is defiled. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone came to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give the careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you.
Ooh. Oh, that's barking. Okay, no projector.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I just need to get myself sorted. Is that right? Great. Thank you very much indeed. Really nice to see you again this morning. Welcome to those who have joined overnight. Do keep Haggai open. Let me pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, we thank you very much indeed for your word. Thank you for this book of Haggai. Thank you for all that you have shown us so far this weekend. Father, would you help us now, we pray. Help us again to give careful thought to our ways. To give careful thought to what you are doing and have done through your Son. Father, please teach us by your word, or through your word, by your spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Every now and then, something happens which just changes the whole course of your life. And from that point on, nothing is ever quite the same again. And those moments, they can be happy or sad, they can be big or small. Sometimes they don't even seem that important at the time, but you look back and you see what an impact they've had. They change everything. So think about your own life. What are your life-changing moments? I guess it could be anything. It could be moving to a new place. It could be starting a new job, falling in love, getting married, having children, getting divorced, a serious illness, a terrible experience, an accident, retirement, the death of a loved one. As you look back on your life, what are your life-changing moments? We're looking at the book of Haggai. Haggai is a collection of four messages from the prophet Haggai to the people of Judah in 520 BC, in which God challenges and encourages them to keep building the temple. In the first message, God urged the people to give careful thought to their ways, to rethink their priorities and return to him. Wonderfully, that message had the desired effect, that the people obeyed God and, stirred up by the Holy Spirit, they set about rebuilding the temple again. But then we saw they soon became discouraged. And so in his second message, Haggai encourages them not to give up hope, but to remember that God knows and that he is with them, and to look forward to the coming glory. This morning we're looking, or in this session, we're looking at Haggai's third message. And 2 months have passed since the second one. Work on the temple has been progressing, and on this day, the foundation stone of the temple is laid. And that is a turning point. It is a life-changing moment for the people as they go about this work. God wants them, did you notice, to mark this day. From this day on, God says, nothing will ever be the same. Let's have a look at verse 18. Verse 18, from this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. Just as the people of Israel could point to that day, to a single day, and say everything has changed, so can the Christian believer. We can point to the day of the cross and the empty tomb and say, because Jesus died and rose again, everything for us is now different. Nothing will ever be the same again. In the words of that great old hymn, we can say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm conscious that it may be you can't say that for yourself yet. You can't say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Or it may be that you have forgotten or lost sight of how amazing that is. What then, if you can't join in that song, or you find it hard to sing that song? Well, notice what Haggai says. Three times, Haggai says the same thing. But we've seen it before. At verse 15, give careful thought. Verse 18, give careful thought. End of verse 18, give careful thought. What do we do if we're struggling to sing that song? We give careful thought. We ask God by his Holy Spirit to open our eyes and to help us see why this day, the day that Jesus died and rose again, why this day is such a crucial day. Take a closer look at two lessons for us. Here they are. First, remember what you once were. Remember what you once were. This is verses 10 to 14. Let me read verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. As we've said, this was a key day for the people. It was the day on which the foundation stone of the temple was laid. And if you look at the end of chapter 1, you'll see that it's exactly 3 months since the people had begun to rebuild the temple. What does the Lord say? Verse 11, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. What is going on in that little exchange? It seems a bit strange, don't you think? A bit like it's some kind of abstract theological discussion that is going on. It helps to know that in Haggai's day, people did not have their own Bibles. They had a question that they couldn't just look in the Bible and find out what God said. If you had a question, you would go to the priest for help. And the priest, who were experts in God's law, they would make a ruling. In other words, they would give you the answer to your question. Now, in this case, God tells Haggai to ask the priests two questions. The first question is about holiness, and the second question is about sin. And the two questions, they really boil down to this. Which is more contagious, holiness or sin? Which is more contagious? Now, you don't have to understand all the details, I don't think, to get the point. Which is more contagious? Sin is more contagious. According to the law, if you offered an animal as a peace offering, then you could take the meat home to eat. So you offered an animal, the animal was sacrificed, you then took that meat home to eat. And that meat that was offered as a sacrifice was holy. And whatever touched the meat also became holy. So I'm sure you wouldn't do this, but imagine that you carried the meat home in the fold of your robe. Then your robe would become holy. But here's the point. If your robe then touched something else, that thing that it touched didn't become holy as well. The meat makes the robe holy, but the robe doesn't make anything else holy. Does that make sense? So much for holiness. What about sin? Well, again, according to the law, if a person touched a dead body, they became defiled. That is, they became unclean, unholy. But if they then touch something else, whatever they touched also became unholy. Can you see? Which is more contagious, sin or holiness? Sin is more contagious. But here's the point. That is not just some abstract theological discussion that the priests are having. That has big implications for the people themselves. And those implications you see in verse 14. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. But God says, the people are defiled, they're unclean, they're unholy. And therefore, whatever they do is unclean, including their work on the temple and the sacrifices that they offer on the altar. Now just stop and think about that for a moment. Can you see why that would be such a problem? It's a problem because it means they have no way to make themselves clean again. That there is simply no way that unclean sacrifices offered in an unclean temple can make an unclean people clean again. So what do? They are unclean. Everything they touch becomes unclean. What hope do they have? On the face of it, that the situation seems absolutely hopeless. What are they going to do? In the same way, the New Testament says that our situation without Jesus is absolutely hopeless. Keep a finger in Haggai chapter 2. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. And again, this may be one of those books where you just want to look in the index to find it. That's fine. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me just read verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Now again, there's lots of detail there, just as there was back in Haggai, but you don't have to understand all the detail to get the point. Look at the end of verse 12. What's the point? If we don't have Jesus, the point is we are without hope and without God in the world. Without Jesus, we are without hope and without God in the world. Let's come at this another way. In Psalm 24, the writer asks a pretty crucial question. The writer says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? In other words, we might put it something like, who can live with God in heaven? Who can live with God in heaven? And the answer the psalmist gives is the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. How can I live with God in heaven? Only if I have a clean hand and a pure heart. Come back to Ephesians. Why does Paul, the writer of this letter, say that without Jesus, you and I are without God and without hope in the world? Because naturally, our hands are not clean and our hearts are not pure. And therefore, you and I, we are not fit to live with God. Without Jesus, he says, our situation is absolutely hopeless. But look at what Paul says again. What does Paul want them to do with this? We have it twice in our Bibles. Therefore, remember. Verse 12. Remember. He wants us to remember. Paul says, remember what you once were. And we may say, well, why? Why do I need to remember this? And the point is, unless you remember what you once were, you will never cling to Jesus now the way that you should. Only if you remember how hopeless your situation was without Jesus will you continue to cling to Jesus now, moving forwards. Earlier I mentioned the hymn Amazing Grace. Some of you will know that hymn was written by a former slave trader turned church minister called John Newton. His life changed forever on the 21st of March, 1748, during a terrible storm at sea. That the storm was so bad that Newton, an experienced sailor, thought he was going to die. And knowing that he was unfit to die and face God, knowing that he was without God and without hope in the world, he cried out for mercy. And God heard his cry, and he miraculously survived. And for the rest of his life, he celebrated that day, the 21st of March, as the day when God had rescued him. The thing is, one of the things that stands out about John Newton is that he never, ever forgot who he once was and what God had done for him. That hymn is a testimony to that. He knew that without Jesus, he was a wretch who was lost and blind. And shortly before he died, John Newton said these wonderful words. He said, my memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Saviour. My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. That I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Saviour. Newton said, there is no hope for any sinner unless we first face up to our sin. Only if we're willing to face up to our sin, to feel our sin for what it is, an offence against a holy God, only when we're willing to do that will we look to Jesus and cling to him. So let me ask us this morning, what about me? What about you? Do we feel our sin? Does our sin shake us? Do we recognize that without Jesus, we are without hope and without God in the world? Remember what you once were. Second, remember the day when everything changed. Remember the day when everything changed. This is verses 15 to 19. God calls the people to stop and think, to look around them and to take note of what is going on. Let's have a look at verse 15. Back in Haggai, verse 15. Now give careful thought to this. From this day on, consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. The Christian writer C.S. Lewis once described pain as God's megaphone. He said this, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. What did C.S. Lewis mean by that? Lewis is saying that as long as everything is okay in our lives, you and I tend not to admit our need of God. We don't submit to him. And therefore sometimes God troubles us. He makes life painful so that you and I will cry out to him. And on the face of it, some people may say, well, that sounds really cruel of God to do something like that. And yet Lewis knew that God made us for himself. He knew that you and I can only find true happiness, true freedom, true contentment when we turn to him. And therefore, when God does that, when he troubles us, he's being kind. And that is, I think, what God is doing here. God is making their lives painful and troublesome so that they might turn to him. Look at verse 17 again. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. That the people had started work on the temple 3 months previously, but clearly something is still not right. That the people are still defiled and unclean, and yet God promises that from this day on, everything will change. Verse 18. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, the day when the foundation stone is laid, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thoughts. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. Mark this day, God says. From this day on, everything is going to be different. From this day on, I am going to bless you. The turning point for them, the life-changing moment, is the laying of the foundation stone. But the striking thing about that it is that the temple itself is not completed for another 4 years. Which means that the only reason the people begin to experience God's blessing now is because of the mercy of God. Yes, one day the temple will be finished. One day God will live among his people again. One day the people will offer sacrifices there that will be pleasing to God. But that day is not yet. And yet from this day on, God promises to bless them. Why? Because he is a God who is rich in mercy. From this day on, the people could look back to the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius and say to themselves, that was the day of mercy when everything changed for us. That was the day of mercy when everything changed. From that day on, what had been unacceptable was now acceptable. What had been unclean was now clean. What had been cursed was now blessed. From that day on, everything is different. And in the same way, you and I, if we're a Christian believer, can look back to that day, the day of mercy, the day when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and we can say that was the day when for us, everything changed. The New Testament says that Jesus is our foundation stone. He is the cornerstone on whom everything rests. In his gospel, Matthew tells this beautiful story about a man with leprosy who meets Jesus. Jesus had been teaching, and large crowds were with him, and a man with leprosy came and he knelt before Jesus and he said to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He didn't have any question about Jesus' ability to heal him. The question was Jesus willing? Jesus reached out a hand, touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And instead of being made unclean by the man, Jesus made the unclean man clean. Because Jesus died for us on the cross and rose again, every Christian believer can say, I am clean. Doesn't matter what we may have done in the past, doesn't matter what someone may have done to us, every believer can say, I am clean. My sin has been dealt with once and for all. I am no longer without hope and without God in the world. Instead, because Jesus suffered once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God, we can now approach God's throne of grace with confidence, knowing that we will receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What's more, you and I, we no longer need to fear that God's curses will fall on us. Because instead, in Jesus, we enjoy every spiritual blessing. And yet, even though we enjoy every spiritual blessing now, when Jesus comes again, when he makes all things new, somehow, in some way, we will experience even greater blessing. On that day, we will live with him in his glorious kingdom, and there will be no more curse. Can you see, every Christian believer can look to the day when Jesus died and rose again, and we can say, that was the day. That was the day when, for me, everything changed. That was the day when my sins were forgiven. That was the day when I was washed clean. That was the day when I was brought to God. That was the day when he blessed me with every spiritual blessing. That was the day when he gave me hope. We look back to the cross and the resurrection and we say, that was the day that changed my life. That was the day. What do we do with this? In the first place, surely we turn to Jesus. We recognize that without Jesus, we are without hope and without God in the world. And so we turn to him and we ask him to make us clean. And the wonderful thing is that when we come to Jesus and we ask him to make us clean, we don't need to worry about whether he will make us clean or not. Remember what he said to the leper? If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. So let me ask you, have you done that yet? Have you turned to the Lord Jesus and asked him to make you clean? And if you haven't done that, do you mind me asking, what is stopping you from coming to him? I am willing, he said. Be clean. If we have, what do? I think if we have, we remember what we once were, and we think much and we think often about Jesus. We think much and we think often about Jesus. Three times Haggai urges the people in this message to give careful thought to this. We give careful thought to Jesus. We think much and we think often about him who died for us on the cross, who rose again for us, who now reigns in heaven over us and one day will come back for us. We think much and we think often about him. How do we do that? Of course we read. We read the Bible, and as we read we pray that old prayer. Please help me to see Jesus more clearly, that I would love him more dearly and follow him more nearly. We read, we sing. We sing about him and all that he has done for us. We sing about the Mount of Crucifixion, where fountains open deep and wide through the floodgates of God's mercy, flowed a vast and gracious tide. We read, we sing, and we eat and drink. That is, we take communion. And as we eat the bread and as we drink the cup, we give careful thought to his body which was broken for us and his blood which was poured out for us. And we remember as we eat and as we drink, we remember that was the day of mercy when everything changed. That was the day when my life was turned around. That was the day. One more thing. We think much, we think often about Jesus, and we keep building. After all, that was Haggai's aim. That's what he was encouraging the people to do, to keep building the temple. And for us, that means, as we said yesterday, that means we keep seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. It means we keep making disciples of all nations. We remember that without Jesus, people have nothing. They are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And yet with Jesus, people who had nothing now have everything. They have every spiritual blessing. We long for people to know the hope that is only found in him. And so we keep building. Every now and then, something happens that changes the whole course of your life. And from that point on, nothing is ever the same again. Well, just as the people in Haggai's day look back to the day when the foundation stone of the temple was laid and said that was a day of mercy when curse turned to blessing, you and I, we look back to a hill and an empty tomb. We look back to the hill where Jesus died and the empty tomb. And we say that was the day when my life was changed forever. That was the day. Let's pray. Dear God, you are very clear with us that without Jesus we are without hope and without you in the world. Help us to face up to the reality of that, whether for ourselves or for other people. And then, Father, please, would you help us to be a people who cling to Jesus, who come to him for cleansing, who come to him for blessing, who come to him for mercy, and then who hold him up and hold him out to others. Father, we thank you so much that he died for us on the cross and he rose again for us, and now he reigns in heaven over us. Father, help us to cling to him. Help us to look back to that day of mercy when everything changed. And help us to be very quick to tell others about him. For his name's sake.